Hey, y'all, come on back in. Make your way in. I know I dispensed a lot of info to you there. I know it's going to take some time to digest it. I'm going to be over at Brighton Heights in a couple weeks. I'm going to share with their leaders and meeting with some folks there. Again, just to help uncover some things, answer questions. I'm going to be at a leaders meeting in 2 weeks. Whenever that is. Right now, I'm just trying to get through right now. Hallelujah. But I'll be here at White Oak to do that as well, just helping answer questions, just helping bring clarity, help bringing confidence. I can't tell you how excited I am about where we are as a church and what's going on. I believe we're going to move forward. God brought us to this place to move us forward. And that's what we're committed to here. I'm going to take probably about maybe 45 minutes or so, probably a little less than that, actually, and share with you just something on my heart for leaders. And now that I told you a lot of like knowledge and a lot of information, I want to give you a picture, biblically, what I believe where we are, and I believe what God's doing inside of us as a church, and just kind of help put some spiritual context to that as we continue to become healthy, growing, and full of love. Amen? So here we go. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to cover a lot of verses here regarding Moses in the Old Testament here. How many of y'all were here when Gerald Brooks was here, our last big lead? That was in August, right? Yeah. He did a session and then did a podcast on the call of God, which really lit me up. I mean, I was just like, it really, really got in my heart. And I've been meditating on it. I've been looking at all the calls of God in the Bible, all the different people, when they were called, what happened when they were called. I've been just going right through all the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. I've just been going through them all. I settled on this one. I can't preach them all to you today. And somebody say, thank you, Jesus. That's probably a good thing. I can't do that, but I know that I can't do that. But I want to share about Moses with you and what's going on here. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared at amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it." Now Moses was in the desert. He was attending somebody else's flock. He was faithful to what he was supposed to be doing here. And many people, the burning bush experience. Something happened in a burning bush there. Oh, it's behind me. Thank you. But there's a burning bush experience here. And bushes on fire in the desert are no spectacular thing. That happens all the time. But what was different, it wasn't consumed. That was the difference. That's why he said, "Well, wait a minute, I gotta look at this." What I want to tell you as a leader is this. Many times we're doing things and it feels like we're in a mundane spot. We're just doing what we do. We're being faithful with who we are, what we do, why we do it, and we're there. But in the midst of the mundane, in what he does, God creates a divine moment. Do you know what God wants to create in all of our lives is divine moments? We don't get divine moments all the time, no matter how much you try. But this was a significant one. He just showed up doing what he always does. And many of the leaders in this room right now, you keep showing up. You keep doing what you're doing. You've been faithful because faithfulness is a test. The faithfulness test is a big test. And you're faithful, but in the midst of that, there's a divine moment that is created here. Okay, God's call here. There's an invitation here. Moses looks, he says, why isn't this burning up? Something's going on here. There's a supernatural moment. Do you know what I revisit often in my life? I revisit what happened to me in 1987, 1988. I know many of you were not born then. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I was there. How many of you were there in the 80s? Yeah, come on. Yeah, okay. Just thrilled you can still raise those hands. Come on, somebody. Yeah, me too. Hallelujah, you know. But in the midst of that, I was on a missions trip in Central America. In Central America, I was fixing a bus, which if anybody knows me in the room right now, you know fixing a bus is not something you want me to do. You may want me to fix somebody else's bus, but not the one you're getting on. We would pray, we would climb under the bus, and God would literally show us what to do. And I remember being under that bus, fixing a transmission, something I've never done before in my life, getting eaten by red ants, haven't eaten yet. It was sweaty, my knuckles were bleeding, it was a beautiful moment here. I looked over and I saw the team, our whole missions team, having fun. They just got done eating and they were just having fun. I was watching it happen right there. And in the midst of that moment, God spoke to me and said, "This is what I called you to." In the moment that he said, "This is what I called you to," I got nervous because I do not want to be a bus mechanic. And I remember just stopping what I did. I was under the bus, and Pastor John Diana, my predecessor, was there. He has since gone home to be with the Lord. And he was there, and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I think God just spoke to me." And he said, "Well, what did he say?" I said, "I think God just spoke to me. This is what he called me to. God called me to be a pastor." And he said, he goes, "Well, sounds like God. Now hand me the wrench." That was my divine moment right there. That was it right there. And we just kept going. And after that, it was like things started changing in my life. I started lining up my life with the call of God. I didn't know what it looked like, but it took a lot of years to get from that time, you know, to being like an associate role pastor. Then took me another 7 years to take the lead pastor role. But I just went on a quest to fulfill the call of God. Why am I sharing that with you? Is because what we need to revisit often is the call of God on our lives. Everybody in this room right now has a call of God on your life. Everybody in this room right now has an invitation from God on your life. Our job as pastors is to find out what the call of God is. Not just find out what your gifting is, but find out what the invitation of God. Every time I look at where the call is, the call of God, I just put invitation. God's inviting us into his thing. See, we're moving from a place where we're asking God to step into our lives, where we're stepping into what God's doing. And Moses was minding his own business, but there was a moment right here in verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. See, God created a moment. God created a moment, just like he does in all of our locations. God creates a moment in every one of our, in our church right now. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses." I don't know. He called twice. "Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. Now, isn't that interesting? God called, and this was his first response. May this continue to be the first response of every leader in the room right now. Amen. Here am I. Here am I. See, this is the call of God. And what he's looking for people to say is like, "Okay, God, here am I." Did God say, "Well, wait a minute, I have a plan for you"? No, Moses said, "Here I am," way before he knew the plan. I said, "God, here am I," way before I knew the plan that I'd be standing with you today. All these years later, 35, 36 years later, I'm with you sharing that same story. "And do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for where you are standing on..." Holy. Yeah, it's holy. See, we have to remember the call of God is holy and it belongs to him. What we have to remember is the invitation that God gives you and the invitation God gives me is holy. It belongs to him. It's consecrated unto him. What we do is spiritual. Every person that's in the room right now that does student ministry and you're working with students 6th through 12th grade, it's a holy ministry. Everybody who works with 5th and under, you have a what? Holy ministry. It's an invitation. All my small group leaders, where's all the small group leaders? It's holy. It belongs to God. And it all starts with the same thing. Here am I. All of us got in this room today by just saying one thing. Here am I. The call of God is what puts us in the room. Not just my gifting puts me in the room. Oh yeah, we need gifting, but we need a call of God. Take off your sandals here. There is a holy moment. So I want to ask you as a leader, and we as the leaders of the church, are we treating Bridge City Church as if it's holy, or is it just normal? Is it just an organization, or is it God's church? If it belongs to God, then it changes everything. It's been set apart. It's holy. It belongs to Him. Are you with me now? See, but it's so easy in church world, and so easy to just get into the maintenance. We get easy to just get into the routine and forget God's setting us up for divine moments. Every one of our candlelight times that we worship God is a divine moment for somebody's life waiting to happen. Oh, did you hear? That's a divine moment where somebody's going to say, "Here am I. I've been working on a young man who I see playing tennis. I talked with him yesterday, and I just been talking to him about, he grew up in a church. He grew up in a Christian church, Spirit-filled, but he's just not serving God the way he should right now. So I've been meeting with him, praying with him. His band just cut an album, and he looked at me and he said, "You do not want to listen to this album, Pastor." And I says, "Oh no, I'm listening. I didn't get to it yet, but I'm going to, because the next time I see him, I'm going to tell him I did. Because I said, look, you did something. I want to listen." And I said, and he goes, "I can't believe you'd even say that." I said, "Well, of course I will. Hey, what are you doing on December 23rd for candlelight? You know you should be in church for a candlelight time." And he said he's going back. He didn't grow up in this part of the country in Pennsylvania, but he said, "I might be going back." He says, "But if I'm here, I'm going to go with you to candlelight. I'm praying for him and his wife. I'm praying for divine moments. See, I'm praying for a burning bush for him. And what's going to come, it may be a candle, but it's going to be a burning bush. It may be a little candle, but I'm praying for a burning bush. How about you? I'm believing God. I'm inviting people to come. Why? Because I want them to receive an invitation from God, not only for salvation, but I want them to be involved. I told him, I said, "Come on, man, you can live for Jesus. You can." See, what I'm trying to say to you is, every time there's a call to salvation, it's an invitation into the plan of God. It's not just a moment in time. It's a life-changing, transforming thing that's sacred and holy. And that's why in every one of our locations, when it comes time to invite somebody to Christ, what do? We treat it as if it's sacred, and everything stops. And you as leaders, we stop. And we pray, and we believe God that somebody's going to go from death to life. Are you with me? Not just for a moment, not just for a number we can all clap. No, but their lives will be changed and transformed, and marriages will be restored, and families will be restored, and the hearts of children will be returned to their fathers, and the fathers will be returned to their children. Come on, are you with me? It's divine, but also the leadership that we have, it's a divine call. I can't explain to you anymore. It's holy. It's a sacred invitation. You're here today because of a sacred invitation, not because your pastor asked you to be here. No, it's sacred. Let's treat it as if it's God. Amen? Amen. Y'all good?
Yes, sir.
Let's go on. Verse 7. Then the Lord told him, "I have seen all of the gifts you have and how great you could be in the kingdom of God." Is that what God said right here? God said, "Oh, I have a perfect plan for your life. It's going to be simple and easy. And it's going to be no problem." Is that what God said? No, he said, no. The Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard." Oh, God sees and hears. Not only that, their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware. God knows. God sees, he hears, and he knows. But what does he see, hear, and know? He hears the cries of people and aware of their suffering. "So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey." Isn't that exciting? God, you heard their cry. You see, you're aware, right? You've heard that before, right? Come on. But not only that, the land where you're going is full of opposition. Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites. I probably just threw Perizzites in it. Just Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. That's where they live. And God gives us a bunch of ites. Are you seeing all the ites? He says, oh, look what I got for you. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be really great. But there's going to be an opposition against you. And so I'm trying to say to you today, there's always going to be an opposition against the work of God. God even said it. God said there's people there right now, okay? And there's a spirit in the land. There's a culture in the land which you have to remove to get to the promises of God. Are you with me? See, this is an invitation to leadership and to everybody, no matter what area of ministry you're in right now. This is it. He sees, he hears, he knows. He's seen the cries here. Listen, Moses' call was not about his gifting and about how great he could be. It was about God answering the prayer of other people. God wants to use Bridge City Church, and he wants to use the expansion of his kingdom in his church to answer the cries of distress that are coming from people who don't even know what they need. And he's called us to do something. Every time as a leader, you think to yourself, I don't know who's going to do something about that. That's an invitation to God that you're that person. Somebody better do something about this, Pastor. How about you? Oh, no, not me. I mean you. No, how about us? How about us get trained up and equipped to do something to release people from oppression and darkness? Are you with me? That's the point. There's an oppression. There's a darkness. There's something in our land that God has called us to overdo, but it's holy. It's an invitation from here. It's the oppression of his people here. All the ites. What are some of the ites that we face? What are some of the fears that we face? What are some of the ites in our land right now? No, help me out here. What are some of the ites? What are some of the things in our culture? What are some of the things that we're facing in our culture right now that God has called us to release people from? What are they? Anxiety, fear, depression,
envy,
division, pride. I'm just yelling the ones I think I hear. Selfishness, strife, our confusion, chaos. Our culture is in confusion and chaos. And so why do we have standards in our church? Because when people come in, they need order. They need order in their lives because they're crying out for order. They're not crying out for perfection. They just need order. Aren't you glad that God doesn't work that we don't have to get perfect before we do anything? I could empty this room out quicker than anything. You with me? But he takes ordinary people and he says, okay, there's order that we have. So why do we have standards? We have standards because we want to bring order to people's lives. And because there's Canaanites and Jebusites and all those other ites and all this fear that we have, because it's going to be there, but we have to overcome all those things so that we can get people to the promises of God. Are you with me? See, so why are we willing to have the conversations we're willing to have? Why are we willing to go into places and wade into murky waters together and try to figure it out? Why? It's not so Bridge City Church can be better. It's because more people can be released from oppression. It's more lives can get free. And so that's what we're committed to here. It's the people's cry. People need to desperately fall in love with Jesus. Do you live in the world I live in? Verse 11, but Moses protested, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Isn't it interesting? Every time, this is how you know God's invited you to do something. You say, who am I? that's a question everybody's like, you want me? You want me to do this? Are you serious? God, either God has a really great plan or he has a sense of humor. You pick. But he said, so who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage? God answered. He said, I'm going to be with you. And this is your sign. When you worship, you're going to come here and worship. Listen, every leader struggles with who am I. Every leader does. I don't care who you are. Who am I to God? Who am I that I should do this? Every one of us, that's why we have to settle who we are in Christ, who I am to Jesus. This is what leaders do, and we help other people know who they are in Christ. The biggest game changer in all of our lives, in every person's life here, in every person's life that shows up at church, is when we realize who we are in Christ, it's the biggest game changer you could ever experience. Yeah. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. It'll change every decision. It will change everything about the way you act at home. Why? Because who I am in Christ is what matters. And it's what we all face and we all struggle with. Has anybody here ever struggled with who am I? My hand's up. I have. Who am I? Who does God, what does he want here? And God answered, I'll be with you. It's like God said, God never really answers, who are you? He says, I'm going to be with you. Don't you? That's what we need. God's with you. God wants me to do this. Verse 13, Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what's his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied, I am who I am. That's what he says here. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The biggest thing we struggle with, it's right here in leaders. Catch me, follow me here. Who am I to God and who is God to me? We got to settle that thing. Who am I to God? Who is God to me? God's presence, God's desires, God's heart here. Say to the people of Israel, Yahweh is his name. And then those two questions, God's will is for us to settle these things. Settle these things. I will be with you right here. God says, I'm going to be with you. I want to be with you. And I believe that God is with us. I believe that God has called us to deal with the Canaanites and all those other ites and all the fears and all the problems. But he's given us a word. He's with us. How many of y'all sense God's with us? Amen. See, that's the point here. I will be with you. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Red letters. I have been given all authority. All authority. And this is what I believe God is doing. Not only to make decisions in our locations, but God wants us to have a greater spiritual authority. Are you with me? A greater spiritual authority God is releasing on his people. And I'm speaking specifically to some men here. Because at Bridge City Church, we've been allowing some of the ladies to take the leadership role in spiritual authority. Well, Pastor, they can't. I didn't say they can't. What I'm trying to speak to the men is this. We're leaning a little too much to ladies are doing the bulk of the spiritual heavy lifting. And I'm telling you, we're going to move this needle back, guys. We're going to move it back, not with more bricks with less hay. We're going to move it back. Who are you in Christ? Who are you to God? Who is God to you? That's how we're going to speak to men, and that's how we're going to do it. Are you with me? We're going to see this shift. We don't have personal ministry times to the degree that we should be having because we don't have enough men trained up and equipped to lead other men in freedom this way. But I'm telling you this, we're going to change this. Guys, we're going to change it. I want men to get free from their past. Victory and freedom is great. I'm committed to it. I'm going to be there at the next Victory and Freedom. Rob's leading it. I'm going to be there. We're going to get a band of brothers to lead it. And the ladies are leading it. Cheryl's leading the one at North Braddock. Ladies are going to get free. But I'm telling you what, we're going to move the needle. Are you with me, men? With authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them. Get them to identify. Baptism is all about identifying with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then impart to them. Teach these new disciples. Do you notice how I said earlier? A better leadership path or pipeline. A better discipleship path. New believers. Are you tracking me now? See, I'm trying to put it in order for you. Here. And so the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. I am with you, how often? When we do this, God's with us. I was at a building dedication with Natalie. Pastor Frank Rondon, Iglesia Sion, Spanish-speaking congregation. He started in other locations, and we were at a building dedication. A building was given to him. Beautiful building. Beautiful, gorgeous building. And we were there, and the pastor who built that facility just happened to walk in. They didn't know he was coming. He's since retired. He and his wife just showed up because they heard about it. And as he was sharing with Pastor Keith and Pastor John Nuzzo was there, and they were very instrumental in this. There was a conversation, and he said the building just became empty. And he made a statement to kind of cut my heart. He said, somehow over time, they just forgot about God. And it broke his heart because his blood, sweat, and tears went into this place. And he says, they just forgot about God. They forgot about the goodness of God. They forgot about the things of God, and they just start doing what they do. I don't want to be that pastor. Let's never forget God. Let's never forget his presence. Let's never forget that. Are you with me? Come on. Because I will be with you. God promises when we do these things, he's with us. Let's keep making sure that at Bridge City Church, he's with us here. If I go, there's doubt, there's opposition. I want, there's a question that we ask. It's kind of rhetorical, so don't yell out an answer. What does God think about our plans? The answer is he doesn't. He's not thinking about my plan. I'm just thinking about his plan. I'm thinking about his plan. I want to see his plan. And that's why I don't want to hold on to something that hold on to anything that's about me. I want to release more people to have authority and more people that can grow and more people in their fullest potential. Are you with me? Because God has heard the cries of oppression. God has heard the cries in high schools all across Western Pennsylvania. Are you with me? The cries of people all over the place. We should be thinking about his plan. That's his plan, and it hasn't changed. In chapter 4 in Exodus, it goes on, and Moses is continuing to have this dialogue with God in verse 10. And Moses pleaded with the Lord, hey, God, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm not real good with words. It's like he grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, I'm not good with them words and that. Right? I mean, it's like God needed him to remind him of that. Like, come on, I'm not good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. How many of y'all can relate to that? Yeah, come on. But yeah, I got this, and I got that, and I got this issue, and so the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear, do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now. God's not impressed with our excuses. And we all got them, am I right? I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough talent. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have enough of this. Am I right? We all have excuses. I just can't think that way. I can't do this. No. When God gives an invitation, it's God's invitation. He decides. Right. He decides. That he's the one that does it here. I'm going to instruct you what to say here. That's what verse 12 is there. And then verse 13. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send somebody else. Are you hearing this? Now it's like, please. When you start pretty pleased to God, you know you're at a whole new level. With sugar on top. Come on, somebody. Please, God, do that. Come on, man. And it's like, the Lord's like, okay, Moses, you're wearing me out. I'll send your brother. He's going to help you. You together can hear God. I'll talk to him. He'll do it. Basically, what Moses kept saying was this: I'm not your guy. I can't. I won't. I shouldn't. I want to tell you this, as a leader, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be a reason why you can't, why you shouldn't. And you're going to run, as you invite people to step into the mission and vision of your connect, of your small group, as you invite people into kids ministry and student ministry, as you invite people to stand in the parking lot when it's 15 degrees out to welcome people. Yeah. No, it's an invitation of God. Amen. We're inviting people to participate with God. It's not about serving the church. You need to serve the church. You need to give to the church. Who wants to go to that place? Am I right? No, it's who. We're going to serve God together. We're going to see something happen together. It's about the oppression of the people, the why and the what. How we do it, hey, who cares how we do it? As long as we get the job done and people's lives are being transformed and filled with the Holy Spirit and they get to know him and they get to stand before God and give an account for their lives. Isn't that a fight worth doing? Yep. Isn't that what we signed up for as leaders? Yep. This is it. And God's not, he's not, but let me just try to say it this way. We got to give up our negative self-talk. Our negative self-talk. I can't, well, God can't do anything. You know, we got too many people here at White Oak. No vacancy outside, sorry. No room at the end. Our building's too small. Our building's too large. Our building's too this. You know, I mean, we're just looking for baby bear's porridge. Come on. We got to stop. God's not ruled by my excuses. And we can make excuses or we can make progress, but we can't make both. I'm not saying I'm going to get to a couple changes coming up here. But the self-talk, and I believe God is taking us into a place where we need to become more offensive with our prayers, more offensive and less defensive. This is something that I took it right from Gerald Brooks. It's about prayer here. 80% of prayer is to solve a problem. So-and-so's sick, so-and-so has a problem, so-and-so's relationship. And again, we should pray for all those things. In all things, prayer and supplication. Right? Am I right? And then family issues, inward self-help prayers, kids, ministry, 90% prayers. God, I just need your help. I need your help here. I need your help there. This situation. But 1%, where does God go to when he has a request? Do you hear God's request? See, even in trying to train people how to give a 10% and then become generous, what's God asking? Not what the pastor's asking, not what the church needs. What's God's request? Faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you with me? See, it's an invitation to faith. It's an invitation to see God clearer, bigger. That's the invitation here. And so what's God's request? What's he saying? And this is what I believe this offensive prayer that God is taking us into is a time of offensive where we're going to start our prayer time in our prayer and fasting in January, Monday through Wednesdays, the first 3 weeks when we fast and we pray, we're going to become offensive, not only praying for healing those things. That's vitally important. But we want to pray forward. We want to pray ourselves into our future. We want to throw the rope out and lasso it to the future and pull it in. Are you with me? I'm telling you, God is asking us, and this is a spiritual thing. I really feel like God spoke to me. God is asking us to take our rearview mirrors down from our car. Not literally, but spiritually. Because this is the key. This is it. Is Bridge City Church, are we going to be what we were meant to be or what we used to be? What we want to be or what God created us to be? What has God created us to be? That's the question. What has God meant for us? And God brought us to this place as a church, as leaders, so that we could launch into the next year to get us to 2027, to get us to 2028. And when we started this decade, we started off with a 2030 vision that God is moving us into that place. Yes. And it's going to take all of the leaders here to say, put our hands all in, and say, are we all one? Are we going to go somewhere here? Because God always calls us one level above our natural ability. God always calls us one level higher because that's where his anointing, that's where his spirit is. That's where his anointing, that's where faith comes in. Well, I can't. No, what's God saying? What's God doing? Let's get people to respond to God. And let's all be people who respond to God joyfully with that. So financially, we're going to believe God. We're going to step forward into our future. We're going to do it. I told you about the workshops we have financially. We're going to help people with faith because we're going to disciple people. God has a plan. We're going to continue to have groups. We're going to continue to process how people grow. We're going to continue to release more and more people and train up more and more people and get better at what we do because I'm leading the charge. If anybody can say it, we've gotten away from a few of the things we said we were going to do. Now we're going back. We're going to do them. And we're going to multiply it. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is going to be in every single ministry. We're going to train people. We're going to release people and do it quicker here. We're going to create that generosity here. I believe that we're going to have in the NRP, that's the network we belong to, the Network of Related Pastors. It's like 49 churches right now that are united together all over the country, basically a lot down south and then some in the north here. And there's a school of ministry that they do. Pastor Gary is very involved in it. We don't have anybody that jumped into the school of ministry again this year, but I'm believing that next year, 2027, in January, we're going to have at least 5 people in that school of ministry. Why? Because we're going back to like, okay, let's train people up. Let's equip people. Let's make it better. How do we equip the next level of eldership? How do we equip and release people in eldership? We're going to get better at that on each and every level of what we do. That's going to be significant, kicking off, I believe, in March. So it's going to give us some time to get there. But that school of ministry, that's for everybody who believes they have ministry on their lives. Ministry on their lives. I want to see more people getting into the mission field here. That's what I want to do. I just wanted to see people released into what God has for them. So let's talk just for a moment in context of what I just said to you, in context of new territory. God has new territories for us. I believe God has new territories for us. Now, it's easy for Pastor Nick to stand up here and say, you know what? We're praying for a building, and we are praying for a building. I want to see him blessed. It used to be we thought, oh, we could get by with a 300 seat. And then we said, oh, we need 500. And now it's like 750. I don't know. By the time it's done, who knows how big. And, oh, it's not so that we can all meet at one time. It's so we can keep meeting multiple times. But that's White Oak. It's kind of easy to see that. But what about North Braddock? What about Brighton Heights? What if God's challenging us, and what if God's tweaking us here to say maybe there's a new territory that we move into? Are we so committed to the way things are that we forgot about the way things could be with God? See, what are we believing for, and how are we going to get there? What's God saying? I don't know, but let's figure it out. What is God saying? Let's pray that through in this next season to say not only for White Oak, but for Brighton Heights and for North Braddock, what if there would be a move? Listen, if you would have told me 12 months ago I would be sharing with you all the things I said right now, I would have said, you crazy. I would have. I would have said, no way. But God brought us a long way in this process to bring us to the point where vision can be released and say, why can't we believe God for more? That's why at White Oak, definitely, we're going to be doing a capital campaign starting in the fall. We're going to be launching a whole other capital campaign because we're going to need more money to get to where God wants us to get to. Does it have to be in White Oak? I don't know. We're going to figure that out. Where does God want us to get to? What's he saying? Because wherever he goes, that's his presence. And whenever people are getting discipled, his presence will be there. Are you with me? And he said there's new territories. There's all these ites. There's all these things against us. But I believe that we will overcome in prayer first, spiritually, okay? And we will impart, we will step forward, we will step boldly into our future with all of those things here. With the authority, with the accountability, with the autonomy. And we're going to figure out what the next step looks like. But we're not going to get so committed to the rearview mirror that we miss what God wants us to get to. Because this thing is so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than us right here. So what are we going to do? We're going to commit to pray. We're going to commit to fast. We're going to commit to invite everybody that we possibly can get to one of the candlelight times. We're going to commit to keep inviting people and keep creating culture of invitation and keep creating cultures where people's lives are changed. And then we're going to get them to victory and freedom. Then we're going to get them into a group. We're going to get them serving on a team because we just got to keep the church going. No, because that's the fulfillment of God. It's a call of God. Are you with me? See, this is the call of God. So we're going to dream again about these things and say, God, what are you saying? So in this season, we're going to be very careful about what we hear, about our self-talk. Remember I mentioned self-talk? Who am I? Who's God? I can't. We're going to be very careful about our self-negativity. We got to give up negativity. Our church can't. No, we can. Right? We can. We will. We're going to give up that and say, I'm going to focus on what I know is in front of me. Well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. If you notice, God never told Moses, okay, now when you experience a Canaanite, this is what you say. He didn't give him all those things. He just said, this is going to happen. I'm going to give you words when you get there. I'm going to give you the plan when you get there. So God's going to give us the plan when we get there. But we are committed to as many people as possible to begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That's what we're committed to. That's all I got to say about that. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Where's God leading? So this is what we're going to do. Is it? Let me hold on. I'm so sorry. I smell something like, I don't know if it's Plaza Azteca, but it's not pickles. Thank you, Jesus. I just don't want to. Okay. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get back in our groups just one more time. And we're going to go just around our group and just say with your group, what did you hear? What spoke to you and what I just spoke to you about over the last 38 minutes? What did God say to you? You're just going to share it. And then we're going to pray once again. Man, Pastor, you're making us pray a lot. Yeah, that's what leaders do. So you're going to share. This is what I heard. This is what I heard. And then we're going to pray. And then, should the Lord conclude your prayer, you're going to go through that door right to the back. And you're going to pick up food if you registered. And you can stay here and eat, or you can grab it and go, either or. You can stay here and hang out. I'm available for questions, for clarification. All the pastors are here. Elders are here. Hey, what did you mean by this? What would you ever think of this? Did you ever think of that? Bring it on. Let's do it together. But I'm so excited about where God is. So does that make sense? You're going to share what God spoke to you. Pray around your little circle. Then you can make your way through, grab food. You can come back here or you can go, either or. But we're going to believe God for a move of God, a sacred time, and every time we get together. I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for being here. So let's get in our groups right now. You're going to share, pray, and then we're going to eat together, and let's make it happen in Jesus' name.